Hello, everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is February the 13th, 2020, day before Valentine's Day. So send all love to all of you for Valentine's Day here. Love can be about many, many kinds of love, just not only romantic love, but friendship love and professional, community too. So today, we wanted to talk about creative imagination, using the imagination of young athletes. And, of course, the main purpose of these calls, too, is to check in with all of you and answer your questions. So your questions could be about anything. I wanted to talk about I had a particular athlete, a 14-year-old swimmer I've been working with who's, we're able to tap into her imagination. So I just thought I'd use that as one example and, think about how you can use the imagination of your athletes. Because sometimes, often when people are younger, they have a lot better imagination than we do, being older, and it's good to ask them to come up with their own imagery, their own suggestions for what they'd like to visualize. Maybe they're already doing visualizations or imagery of some sort, and so use their strengths, tap into what they're doing already that is working, and then we can build on that. So, I wanted to give specific examples of imagination, how you could use that in different sports, and then what if your athlete has trouble with visualization at first, or they're kind of might be limiting their view of what it is. So address that, and then, what young athletes can teach us about the power of the mind. So be open to what your young athletes can teach you when you're working with them, asking, good open-ended questions about what they could imagine, and then helping athletes to communicate with difficult coaches, too. I've been working with that with different athletes, and, that's always an ongoing issue with us with working with athletes is oftentimes coaches are not as positive as they could be. So how to help them be assertive and stand up for themselves, and then how athletes can coach. I helped this one swimmer to I told her, I'm coaching you how to sort of teach your coach, how to coach your own coach how to be a better coach, how to have better behavior kind of thing. So a lot of times athletes can really, you can help them to be empowered to stand up to a coach. And that can really help so that they can then use the power of their mind and keep moving forward. So, first I'll just check in with all of you and see if you have any questions or things that you're doing right now with athletes. And Michelle, you were on the line first. Do you want anything you want to share or any questions to ask?
Oh, hi, Dr. Joanne. Thank you. Yes, I do have a question. And I'm starting to do a lot more work with teams, which I'm really enjoying. And I was just wondering if you have any good suggestions for when they're in the huddle and when they're on the, like, say, I got a volleyball team, and say things are going just a little bit sideways, a little bit south, how can they get themselves back on track? And do you have any good little nuggets that they can either say or do when they, take a pause and get in that huddle?
Okay, before the game. So, like, for instance, what sport?
During the game.
Yeah, so like with soccer, or which sport are you working with?
Basketball and volleyball.
Yeah, okay. So,
sorry, I should have met with him last night.
What's that? You just met with him last night?
I should have sent this in to you last night. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, oh, the day before is always good, but that's okay. Here on the call is great too, to to talk about these things. So, when you're when they're in a huddle, it's a really quick kind of thing right before they're going out there. So, that's in the huddle is not a time to, to point fingers or do blaming like some athletes do. Of course, it's not a time to do a deep analysis of what just happened because you only got a few minutes. So, to be able to say, sometimes, right before the start of a game, to do some kind of group chant is always good. And when I was a kid, remember, it was always 2, 4, 6, 8, who do we appreciate? I'm with the Impalas running club, so we always do a huddle beforehand and just say, go Impalas, we could do this. But you can also, just some quick inspirational words of saying, or if something bad just happened before that, mistake, to just say, okay, that's history. We're getting the next play, to emphasize that that's behind us now. No problem. We're moving forward. If they can do something physical to let go of whatever the mistake was before that, like everybody just kind of imagine, putting their hand past their thigh, like they're throwing a stone behind them, some kind of physical gesture, like that's behind us. That's good to do that, to have a kind of a ritual so that they can say, okay, we're moving forward and we can do this. And we're a team. Sometimes, when there's somebody makes a mistake or something, you want to single a person out, but it's better to say, emphasize, we're a team. We're doing this together. We can do this. We can handle anything that's coming up, and just keep looking forward to what's happening and say, all of us are important here. That's a good thing to emphasize. Because some people might be thinking they're not as important or they messed up or something. A feeling of gratitude is always a good thing to say. We're grateful for each person here, and each of us has strengths that we can give to the team. So let's draw on the strengths that we each have here. Each of us is really important. So those kind of things are really good. So not just emphasizing the star of the team, of course, but to say we've got every person here. We can pull together, and we can do this. And even if it's like, especially maybe it's the last quarter, they're behind, saying we've done this before, or we can keep moving forward. Like the 49ers here, and this just played the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and probably the Super, and it was the fourth quarter, and the 49ers were ahead 20-10 here, our home team in San Francisco, and then but then they just kind of fell apart that last part, and so the Kansas City Chiefs were probably saying, hey, we can do this in the last quarter. This is, the other team may be getting complacent, and this is the time. That's another good thing to emphasize. This is the time right now to do this. Or if people are getting too nervous, then it's good to just emphasize, hey, let's, things are going well. Just keep doing what we know how to do. This is what we do. So just keep on trucking, keep on doing what we know how to do, so that we don't have, sometimes you can, depending on the situation, you can say, we don't have to do anything special here. We just keep doing the skills that we have and using what we know how to do. So just reinforcing the fact that we know how to do this is a really good thing, I think. Because sometimes teams think that they have to have some, you know, supernatural powers to get through the game, or we have to do something amazing has to happen. But if you can reinforce just we do this all the time. This is a regular thing, you know. This is our do what we do best. You know, that's a good phrase to do, to say, do what we do best, and what we practice every day. So those are some thoughts I had, and just reminding people, you know, that practice mindset. You know, bring your practice mindset is like the mindset of being relaxed and being, you know, how we practice every day, that this is a routine thing, and we just enjoy it. We're relaxed. We're in our element, and it's good. This is what we do. And not to think this is, you know, not to go into this heavy duty, high pressure competition mindset, but just say, okay, bring our practice mindset right into the game here. This is practice, because every game is practice for the next game. So that's a good thing to emphasize, people aren't too nervous. Every game is, yeah, practice for the next game, for what's coming up. And so it's really good to say anything you can to kind of take the pressure off. So, those are some ideas, Michelle. Is that helpful?
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Joanne.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Thanks for your question. Great. Yeah, it's good to have that, and, you know, kind of that, have those things to say to the team. And to, even if there is an alarming situation, like an oh no, that's what you want to avoid doing is saying, oh my God, we're in trouble now. You don't want to say that in the huddle. anything except that, right? But we're okay, you know, kind of just getting, we can get through this. Yeah, so, and then if, you know, some kind of physical touch of, you know, the high five that the whole team can do, or a fist bump, or everybody put their hands together in the middle, or put their arms around each other, you know, in a circle kind of thing, that physical touch gives that sense of, it really does something to the brain neurologically, saying that we're, you know, it helps strengthen the mind and give you know, positive energy, positive endorphins to the brain when we have that physical touch with someone else in a safe, a good way. That it's we are, you know, that touch shows that we are not just verbally we are a team, but you know, physically you feel like you're really connected with people. So that's a good thing too. Yeah.
Thank
so
you.
Good. Yeah. Thanks, Michelle, for that question. Yeah, and let's see. Matt, if you're on the, if you're in a quiet place, if you want to ask questions, feel free. Or Dave, if you have any questions, or if you want to check in with anything that you're doing.
Yeah, Dr. Joanne, this is Matt. I will get a question off real quick, and then I'll be going on mute again. But over this past weekend, I took my team to the Boise Invitational, and
running or triathlon or what kind of team?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. This is indoor track. It was a national qualifier for so it's put on by Nike, and anyways, I think that I am starting to have some trouble with some of my top athletes because of our own past. So we have traditionally done very well at Boise. This was our this was nothing I would say to the team, but this was our poorest showing ever.
Worst showing?
Our worst performance as a team. I don't compare, but they know from past when I think what's going on is that we've had so many top level sort of athletes that have won these invites or have qualified for nationals. And we won as a team a couple years in a row. Some of my athletes, you know, have been Gatorade Athletes of the Year, et cetera. So my point is that the athletes that I brought this year had a lot of capability to be able to perform very well. I don't care about the medals. I just want them to realize, you know, what it is that they can accomplish. But I think that they were comparing themselves to my runners of last year and years past, where they're just not running as, you know, as fast yet. And so seemed like, you know, we were in a really good mindset leading up to this meet, but then at the meet, I had, you know, a couple of athletes, I overheard them talking about, well, yeah, I'm not going to be, Jared, this kid last year that won. This kid was saying, I'm not going to be as good as Jared, so I don't even know what I'm doing in this heat, because it was the top heat. And of course, that's the wrong mindset. But we had, you know, done all of the same kind of preparation physically and mentally. I felt like we were ready, but then I still heard that kind of mindset going on. So, you know, these are kids, they're very impressionable. They want to run, you know, their best for their coaches and their family. But I'm trying to get them to understand it has to start with, you know, doing it for themselves. And, seems like they're comparing more and more. And I feel like this is becoming a bigger problem, especially as these kids have, everything posted, on Instagram. They have all of these sort of, I guess, influences around them, and some of it's negative and some of it's positive, you know. And then finally, I would say, just on the whole coaching thing that you brought up before, this actually happens to be the last year that I am taking a team, because we're going to focus on the Olympic hopefuls with our new program that we're doing. But basically, high school team, I mean, and basically this is just something that has gotten worse over the years, but the coach that was walking by one of my athletes, he coached her in high school, and she's part of his team in high school still during the season. This is the indoor season. He does the outdoor season, and he just completely ignored her and walked past her because she was not running for him. And so it really, messed with her head. She started to cry. There was this whole situation we had to deal with. And, some of these coaches, just it's pretty upsetting where they definitely put their own egos first and that sort of thing. So I know that's a loaded series of things I brought up. I guess I'm kind of known for that. I apologize. But I'll listen in, and then just FYI, I'm going to be interviewed by Muscle and Fitness magazine. They're calling me sometime in the next hour or so. So at some point, I'm going to be off the phone, but I'll be listening in until then.
Okay. Well, thanks. Congratulations on your interview. To be interviewed by a magazine.
So Muscle and Fitness is like, it's kind of, I don't know if it's popular in the U.S., but it's more about bodybuilding usually. But one of my clients is, is the person that they're featuring. It's not me. I'm just giving the workout in some quotes, you know.
Oh, great. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Anytime you can do that to get your name out there, that helps. Yeah. And offer helpful information. So great. Well, thank you for that question, Matt. And it's it's tough when that, all the comparing that is going on. Yeah, it's just you want to rip the phones out of people's hands kind of thing. But we wish we could go backwards, but we can't do that. I can't go backwards. Of course, yeah, it was so much better before we had, in some ways, before we had social media and this source of comparing. And it also kind of disconnects people because everyone's looking at their screens. And so many ways to compare, it can be very frustrating. So it's almost like, as sports psychology coaches and performing edge coaches, that's another one of our tasks, is to do a kind of anti-comparing training for our athletes. I know it's something you don't just do in one session kind of thing. Because so many athletes really are compelled to check the statistics and compelled to look at their phones and see what's going on, how everybody else is doing. And I guess we can't change the fact that all those statistics are out there, or that information is available. But what we can do is to help athletes to put it in perspective, to not, you know, it's like that radio, kind of a radio in the mind, and to be able to turn down the volume on the comparing. And kind of think of it like a comparing muscle, because athletes think in terms of muscles, physical muscles that they are training. So if you could do an analogy that we have a comparing muscle, and we have, when you have a muscle problem like a tendon, you have tendonitis. So now we have comparing-itis. You could make a term out of it. and we have two kind of overuse of the comparing muscle. So, you know, kind of draw an analogy to other muscles in the body. And, you know, be able to say to them, be able to give them, first to have, it's good to have athletes talk about what happened. And like Matt, you said that athlete that said, I'm not as good as so-and-so. I don't even know why I'm in this heat. Be able to say, you know, everybody's also that everyone changes all the time. And so we aren't, you know, this Jared or whoever they're comparing themselves to might have had some great performances, but who knows where they're at now. People have good days and people have bad days, and you may be able to beat amazing things happen, and, you know, maybe tell stories of how someone, you know, an athlete, there's all kinds of stories where the underdog, advantages of being the underdog, and you know, that you have less pressure and less people are looking at you and no one expects you to win. And those are all good things. And you could creep up from behind this person might not even expect you to be there. And so you don't have the media pressure that the top person has. So you can talk about that, but it's really a good thing oftentimes in sports, it's the underdog that has the advantage, and that because nobody knows what your skills are, and so no one's expecting you to do well. So you've got this, you can think of it, you know, tell them it's like having a secret weapon, that you've got all these secret gifts inside, a secret advantage, that they have and that are, you know, imagine, and you could do a visualization around that. Did you have this, like a flower that's just about to bloom, or something that's growing and is getting better and stronger all the time, and no one else knows about it yet, but you do, and that you can, you can really be able to have instead of the comparing muscle, you know, let's work on a different muscle, the inner strength muscle, creative mind muscle, to be able to say and your strength, kind of instead of just the muscle strength, think of your inner strength as a muscle, to be able to rise to the occasion, no matter what the occasion is. So those are things that you could have them kind of work on. And when they do, you know, everybody's going to have that time when they look at Instagram and compare, but be able to, it's like an addiction, really, and if they can be able to less, spend less time with that, especially right before a meet or something, to be able to, not look at the statistics so much, and be able to focus on, spend more time focusing on what they are doing to train, and focus on the exercises that you are doing. And you can emphasize that you are actually a secret weapon for them. I do that a lot with my athletes that I work with. I'm saying, you know, think of me as your secret weapon. That you've got somebody to work with here on the mental strength that other athletes don't have, or they may not be working. If they're doing well, they're probably not, taking time to work on the mental strength. So you can really bring that in.
Can I ask you a quick question on that? Just, I know that comparing is something I try not to to go there, but sometimes I wonder if it would help. So, in other words, I happen to, be Jared's coach, right? And I know Jared's VO2 kinetics, and I know Keegan is the young man I'm talking about here that just did not run as well as we thought he should have. And Keegan's VO2 kinetics are actually better than Jared's, which, that's just hard. That's just, those are just metrics, but those are numbers that we could legitimately say, look at your rating, look at his, look at what it is that you're able to do. If you can go in with that belief, because Jared, where he trumped Keegan was just in his self-belief, not in his abilities. And so when I have a hard number like that, is it good to compare and actually show the athlete you're actually better than this athlete, or is that a road you shouldn't really ever go down?
It's a, which statistic? Is it VO2 max?
Not his VO2 max, his VO2 kinetics. So, just basically, that's like, I guess, to simplify those terms a little bit more, but it's like when your engine, your VO2, and then your transmission, your kinetics a little bit more, right? That's when you're able to switch gears. And when we do his stride rating and his stride length, that's where Keegan actually has superior numbers to Jared. I mean, the metrics are smaller at that level, but Jared does 5.86 meters per second, and this other kid I'm talking about does actually 6.11. So he has better kinetics, and in theory, he should be able to run faster than Jared did. And we have other tests, obviously, his lactate threshold and all those numbers are actually better than Jared. So Jared is just more of a aggressor. He's more competitive that way. He doesn't, you know, he runs competition, not a threat. And so that's the difference. It's all mental between Tegan and Jared. And I did ask Jared, by the way, last night I was coaching him. Jared's now in college, so he did this last year when he was Gatorade Athlete of the Year. But I asked Jared if he would consider talking to Tegan this weekend, just giving him some advice. I thought that might help. But I just didn't know if I should bring up the kinetics, bring up the fact that his metrics are literally just physically better. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's a judgment call. There's no right or wrong in these situations. Each person's individual. But, yeah, you could – that's a good point, that if something is clearly if he's clearly better at something with the kinetics and you can show that, then that might be a good – anywhere where you can show that the person is here's your strength here, and here's something that you really are doing well – then that could be a good thing. So saying, yeah, here's what you're doing well, your kinetics, and then all we need to do is add the mental component to that, and then just emphasize how, you know, it is your belief system that really can make a difference. And it's like if you're taking the placebo effect, is so powerful, and you could talk to him about that, and that, people take a sugar pill and they say, this is going to do amazing things for you. And oftentimes the placebo effect of that group has just as good a result as the group that was taking the real pill. It just shows how powerful our minds are. There was a study done with cancer patients where they were given a drug that said, this is going to help your cancer, but it will cause you to lose your hair. And that was the real, one half of the group received the real medication and one half received the placebo that theoretically does nothing. And the placebo group actually lost hair. You know, and that is just phenomenal. It's scary, really, to think about that. But just the belief that they would lose some of their hair would be amazing. So that was, of course, a negative effect in that way, but you could use it also in a positive way, just believing that you can do much better than another athlete is just as powerful as your kinetics or your physical part. So you could tell Tegan, here's your ratings here, and in that way you could use the comparing in a positive way and say, if you want to compare, let's compare the things where you are strong, and show them that rating, and then say, so you are stronger here, and then but just what we need to add to that or strengthen is that mental component, that belief that you can use your kinetics, use your mental, use your physical, your muscle, the physical strength that you have here and speed, and be able to really do a visualization around that and have them imagine just how fast he is, and just reinforce that in the mind. And that's going to help to be able to perform in those situations, because chances are he's probably, if he's saying, I'm not as good as Jared, I'm not as good as, then it's taking away from all the physical strength he has. So, use that part use whatever strengths where a person is doing well, and that's okay to kind of compare it, to use a comparison in that way, as long as it's not done in an overboard way, I guess overly done, where there's too much of that comparing going on, because you want to get back to the focus of what he can do individually. Okay, so I hope that helps. And yeah, thanks, Matt, for that question. I know Matt's on the road in the background, so that's great. And I just wanted to check with Dave also if you had any questions or comments about what you're doing.
Well, this last week, you know, I'm taking what we talked about, and I reached out to a couple of athletic directors, and that went very well. So, you know, unfortunately, the weather isn't so great up here, so there's kind of a timing thing as track season kind of ramps up here.
Is it Washington?
Yeah, in Washington, yeah. So,
uh-huh.
So that was a good thing. And then this last week, I was able to do a visualization with a young man who's 19, and he has serious anxiety. He's going into the military, into the Marines, and he wants to be in leadership. And so we did a little work together during session, and it's actually my first real application of the visualization like that for performance. And he asked me, this is the interesting part, he asked me to introduce some cadence, which is the marching, kind of the marching piece. When you're in the military, it's part of leadership. And so I had to do a little research on it, kind of pull it up, and we did about a three to four minute tape of him preparing for that first day, because he has a lot of anxiety about it. Him taking leadership, him being in a ready state, right, kind of relaxed state. But then he wanted me to actually read out the cadence during the tape as well. So that was a really great experience for me. It wasn't a really long tape, but I was able to do it on my iPad in memos, which is like a long way of dictation into a memo, and I was able to send it to him on his email. So now he has that, so he can access it when he goes away.
Oh, great. Oh, so you typed it out or recorded it?
No. On the iPad, there's something called Memo, and it's like a dictation, like what you mentioned before. And at the top, it says you can send it. So I just sent it to his email, and it goes off like an audio file. So he could listen to that anywhere off of any, phone or whatever, as far as his email goes.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is awesome. So he's going into the military.
Yeah.
And so that is awesome, yeah. So it's good that you could do a visualization. And yeah, you want to be able to use all five senses. Or as many senses, at least visual and auditory and your kinesthetic, your sense of touch are really good to bring into a visualization if you can, to make it more real. Yeah, and use their name, at the beginning and end, and maybe once or twice in the middle, so that makes it more personalized. You probably know that. And so just some tips like that are really good. So, yeah, good. And so is he using it now, the visualization?
Yes, he is. Yeah, he leaves in about 2 weeks, I believe. So, on the front end, I really scripted it out because, I wanted to nail it. So I was very ready. Plus, I had a little note card just in case I needed it. But once I got into the zone, right, because I had practiced it a few times, I felt pretty comfortable. Right, it was kind of like a good match for him, keeping it in that 3 to 5 minute range, as opposed to something a little bit longer, which I think would have been flooding for him, because you've got a lot of anxiety. He just kind of needs to get in there, get what he needs, and then move on. That's kind of how he operates.
Yeah, great. Okay, well, thanks for sharing that, Dave. Yeah, good job with the visualization, and that's a really heavy thing for going into the military. So that's definitely a performance and can have a lot of performance anxiety around that. You're having to perform and a lot in some ways give up some control because there's so much control and structure in the military, but also great opportunity. So
yeah,
thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
Thank you.
And so, is that everything you wanted to share?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I wanted to, get into our content a bit here, too. Thanks for your wonderful questions, all of you.
Matt?
You know,
and Dr. John?
Matt? Is that Matt?
Dr. John, can you hear me?
Yeah, are you there?
This is Evan. I joined late.
How are you?
Good. I just wanted to say hi. So, just been listening, very interesting, and I don't have any question. I love that you reminded, you know, the placebo effect. That is such amazing. There's some research, even when you let the people know that they're taking placebo, like something that there's nothing actually in there, that has an effect also, which is crazy. So I think that's a good explanation with science behind that and research that show the powers of the mind. So that was a good takeaway for me. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying with letting people know there's nothing in there with what? Sorry?
Yeah, in there, when you were mentioning the placebo effect, where you compare two groups, and one group, they take a real medicine, and the other one, they take a pill when there's nothing but sugar in it, for instance. That's the placebo effect. And then there are also some research showing that you can also add a group where you give them the placebo, like the pill with just the sugar and no medicine, and you tell them that this is a placebo. And even with that group, so giving the medicine, but just the fact that they're taking something, I don't know, might trigger in their mind that something has to change. Maybe their brain is like, okay, we need to do something about something, makes them having there's an effect on, you know, whatever they're measuring. That makes sense?
Yeah. Exactly. So it just shows how powerful our brains are when we say, I mean, I do that. We can do that as athletes, simple things like when I'm out running and I'm drinking some even water or some Gatorade or sports, I tell myself, this is fueling my body. You know, if I'm out, you could do that with athletes. And just running, you could get the nutrition or something in your body, but then if you're also pairing it with telling yourself this is my medicine or this is strengthening my body here, you know it can help you. Yeah, to, like Evan, like you're saying, triggering the brain to to give you more strength. And I've done that with, where I felt hot, I was running or worked out and I'm feeling hungry, but I'm in the middle of a race. I can't eat anything. So I remind myself, you just had good nutrition right before this race, or you had a good meal, and it helps me to just feel like I'm being, that's working in my body. So that's the kind of thing you can do. Yeah, exactly. So placebo effect is a powerful thing. It's basically our belief system, so we might as well use it. So thank you, Evan. Yeah, and I'm glad you're on the call also. I just wanted to talk about with young athletes, the power of the imagination and how we can break through obstacles. And one thing that I was going to share a little bit about, just an athlete, 14-year-old swimmer I was working with, an example of that was when she was having trouble at first. She swims the 100 fly and the 500 freestyle stroke, and she was talking about her having trouble with her coach at first and saying that my coach is yelling at me and swearing at me. And it makes me feel awful, and And I said to her to be able to, let's practice being able to talk to your coach, and because she's pretty assertive, but didn't have the word, didn't know what to say, or was scared, afraid to talk to the coach about that. And so we practiced kind of being able to say the words that she wanted to say to him, and be able to just say, you know, at first, you know, we want a coach say something. It's always good to use a sandwich technique, say something positive first and then say the difficult thing and then end with something positive, and being able to say, coach, I know that we want to do well as a team, and you want us all to do well, and but here's something I'm having trouble with. And she told the coach, I don't appreciate you yelling at me, and it makes me perform even worse when we want to, and we want to be able to perform better. So she, I mean, to be able, for a 14-year-old kid to say to the coach, I don't appreciate you yelling at me, and it is, it doesn't help my performance, is powerful. And then she, so we, then we had a session after that. She said, oh, he apologized. And I said, well, what did he say? And she said, the coach said, oh, I'm sorry you felt that way. And I know all of you are probably cringing as I was. I'm sorry you felt that way. And I said, and that was a teaching moment where I could tell her, you know, that's not an apology. that's just a cop-out, basically. I said, and I was said that an apology is, you know, something where you say, I am sorry for my behavior, and then you name the behavior. He needs to say, I'm sorry for that I yelled at you. And then the second part is saying, and how I hurt you, how what I did, you know, hurt you, and be able to own it, take responsibility for that. And then be, and then the third part is of an apology is saying, I'm, and here's how I plan to change, and here's how I'm going to work on myself. He did none of those three things. And she goes, oh, yeah, you're right. He didn't apologize. So that was really important to identify that. But I congratulated her on being able to be strong and be able to say, you know, I don't appreciate that you that you yelled at, that you're yelling at me, and it's making me perform, affecting my performance. And and also others of you, we've got some new people in the program that are asking that question, how do you deal with a coach that is not, you know, that's not behaving badly or not doing well. And so this is a good example of that, to be able to teach your athletes to confront the coach. So I explained to her that even if oftentimes a coach will get defensive and they won't admit what they did or won't take responsibility, but know that they are taking in what you said, and then just watch and see if their behavior changes. And in fact, her mother actually had a private conference with the coach also, and confronted and said, that's not acceptable to be yelling and swearing at my daughter. And so the fact that the daughter talked to him, and then the mother had a conference with him, she said after that the coach is now respecting me, treating me a lot better, and is watching his words and all. And so it really did make a huge difference. And I said that this is really a great chance. This is a good chance for you to practice and strengthen your assertiveness muscle. And because these kind of situations will probably come up in other, in your, you know, school, at work, other jobs when you get older. And it's really harassment. You know, I was naming it, but this is like harassment in the workplace, because right now you're swimming is your job. and you're out at the pool, you know, most of the, you know, many hours a day, every day. And so this is really important, you know, how you need to be treated with respect. And so she really changed not only how the coach treated her, but she was helping to change the culture of the whole program there and how the coach treated her and everyone. So, because she said that later it looked like the coach was starting to treat other people better as well. So, so that was a good example of how to deal with a difficult coach is teach the athlete, if it's possible, to confront the coach. Now, you know, some coaches aren't as, you know, you have all kinds of different reactions, and but it's good to do everything you can to try. And if you can have the parents behind the person, that's even better. So, yeah, and then so that happened first, and that got her on a really good track, and then she was able to qualify for it's called TSCA in her area. She's in Texas, and was able to qualify for the invitational swim meet there, and then she was able to went uphill after that to do well at the qualifiers for district championships. And she was saying to me that, you know, I have these two events, the 100 fly, and then I'm going to have the 500 freestyle right after that. And I said, what can we do to prepare or to recover quickly from the one event and then going right into the other event? And I said, let's imagine what animal or what fish would you like to be when you're swimming the 100 fly and a butterfly? And she said, a dolphin would be great, and she described the dolphin. And a lot of times kids are, their imaginations are even better than our own, so it's good to just see what they're doing already. So she was able to imagine a dolphin that which is perfect for the butterfly because you're having a dolphin kick. And so imagining that, she said, was really helpful. And then being able to go in and then I asked her to describe the dolphin and that it's fast and graceful and sleek. And then I asked her to go, one of her homework assignments would be to go on the internet, go on YouTube or somewhere and just look at videos of dolphins in the water and how graceful and efficient they are. And so she did that, so that was good. So she, and you can imagine, she said, in the race itself, I imagined myself that a dolphin was right in front of me and it was guiding me along. So you can have the person imagine being a dolphin or also being, having a dolphin, that they're riding on top of a dolphin or that the dolphin is right in front leading them. So all kinds of things. It's good to not limit the person to what they should imagine, but ask them questions about, what's most helpful for you. Because people have different perspectives on it, and kids often have wide perspectives and all kinds of things they can do, I can imagine. So, it's good to just imagine that. And then I said, she could be a dolphin for the 100 fly. And then I said, what? And then maybe you could become a different animal or a different kind of fish for the 500 freestyle. What would you like to be, or what would be helpful for you? And she said, a seal. And so we, and then she described that and how the seal is. And it just, by coincidence, I just happened to be have gone here to a really special place we have near Santa Cruz called Año Nuevo, and it's world famous here for its elephant seals. And so I'd just been there, so I described to her the and you can go online and see elephant seals. They're 5,000 pounds. It's just amazing, but yet they swim really fast, and they can go down, they can hold their breath and go down, 2,000 feet under the water to get food and hold their breath for 2 minutes. They're just amazing animals, and they have to be very efficient, and they come to shore there, and they the elephant seals, they have a special place, Año Nuevo, where they feel safe, and they just sit there and hang out there for two to three months and lose 1,500 pounds, a heck of a weight control program, and they just lay there and have their offspring, and then they go back out to sea, and they swim for, they make a 5,000-mile trip out to sea and get food and get healthy and eat lots of fish and come back. So I was just telling you that story, any kind of story that you can relate about what how you used visualization or how that animal, whatever they've chosen, how they are in the real world, that can be interesting information to them too. And so she imagined a seal, and so she said, okay, I'm going to, when I get start the 500 free, I'm going to put on my seal clothes and be really be a seal so I can go fast and fast and have endurance. And then she said that it was at halfway through the 500 free. It's a long event. You know, she says I kind of lose focus. She made it to the district championships, and then but she said she didn't go as fast as she wanted because she kind of lost focus in the middle. And but then she did qualify for the regional championships. So I said, okay, let's work on the 500 free. How about in the middle of the 500 free, you know, you're losing – that's when a lot of people lose focus. So that's when you want to be stronger and really gain focus. So what could you do in the middle of the 500 free to regain your confidence and your focus there? Maybe turn into a different kind of fish, and or I suggested different things. And she said, yeah, I want to be a – I said, what would be good? And she said, I want to be a shark. So she – then we described that and how the shark is, you know, kind of the king of the sea and is aggressive and everybody's afraid of the shark. And so she said, that would be great, right, in the middle of the 500 free, she'll put on – imagine putting on her shark clothes and become a shark. So, you know, this is really easy and cool to do with kids because they just have such a great imagination. So she imagined herself as a shark, and we talked about the movie Jaws, of course, is the classic shark movie, and but just how it, you know, it's got this huge mouth, and it shark eats up other fish, and so we talked about how she could be a shark, and all the other swimmers are other fish in the sea, and how the shark is kind of king of the ocean, and so you are king or queen of the ocean, and queen of the pool. Just that feeling of strength and being aggressive. So that kind of, you know, visualization of a different fish and it kind of allowing the mind to do something different, to shift gears in the middle of a long endurance event like that was really helpful for her. So she gained power doing that. And then she was able to do, you know, make the district championships. She made the podium in both events and regionals. She got PRs and personal bests in her events and to really move up. And so she did really well and was just, so I wanted to give that example of how you could use imagery and visualization to be able to move forward with her, with and you know, let the athlete kind of give you examples and how it can, they can drive you, because their minds are are really good at coming up with the answers. When I ask her, you know, if you have lots of, if you lose energy, sometimes she said, I could pretend. She said she had an acting school, an acting class she'd taken previously. And I said, well, really, when we're out there doing sports, we're all actors. That's what we're basically doing, is acting, playing this role of the best athlete you can be. And she said, yeah, if I don't have enough energy, I want to pretend. I'm going to act as if I have all the energy in the world and I just got a second wind and got this new form of energy there. So that's a good example of how you can bring acting into this as well. And just one other quick example, and then I'll check in with all of you. Is another example was with a baseball player, 10-year-old kid with baseball. I said, what would you like to imagine? He said, when he's up at bat, he wanted to be able to focus more and not not overthink what the pitcher is going to be doing. And he said, I want to be the bat. You know, actually imagine I'm the bat. I would have never thought of that myself. So here's the mind of a 10-year-old kid, and he imagined being the bat and I said, okay, what's that like to be the bat? And he said, I'm strong and I'm fast and, you know, I connect with the ball really, really well. And he could just go right into that imagery of being the bat. And then he said, okay, now I want to be the ball. And I'm going to imagine that ball coming really fast at me, and so he imagined that, and so he was able to switch gears and get into all these different things that are going on. I hadn't thought, I would just think about being the person, you know, hitting the ball, but he went beyond that and wanted to imagine the bat and then the ball and then imagine himself, and we imagined like him batting in slow motion and then quick motion. So there's no limit to what you can do with visualization. It can really be fun. So let the child, the young athlete, guide you as to what you can do with them, and just kind of that can give you new ideas and give you a new perspective on what's possible. So those are some things I wanted to share today, and I just want to check in with all of you with a takeaway or nugget that you found useful from this. From our talk today, and then also you can mark your calendars. Our next call will be on February the 27th, in 2 weeks, is the second, fourth Thursday of the month. So February 27th is our next call. So let me just check in with all of you to see what was something that was most helpful for you or that you could relate to, or something maybe you could use going home today, a takeaway from the call here, or a nugget that you could share. Michelle,
this is Evan.
Evan, hi, go ahead.
This is Evan, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So like I said, I think the placebo was great because usually when I start some introduction to mental training, I like to say that it's using the mind-body connection to our advantage, and I use an example just to illustrate what that is, mind-body connection, just to have, like, everyone, every athlete have been through just thinking of a competition and then just having the butterflies in the stomach, the heart rate increase. So that's basically a simple way to illustrate that. But I think the placebo is great, too, because in that, and for people who might, you know, still question or doubt, even myself, I'm a former engineer, so it's sometimes still in my in my way, like all these things. I think it's a great example to say placebo effect has proven, you know, scientifically that there's an impact. So that's something I'm going to add into my presentation, more when it's geared toward adults than kids, probably. But that was very useful. And then the images, I love that. I remember last year you also talked about a skydiver was doing some like speed, I don't remember the name of this, like speed falling, you know, reaching the highest.
Right.
Yeah, which was crazy. And just imagining he was back on. And so the examples you gave were very useful to him. Just imagine, like, even switching suit, you know, in the middle of the race, you know, switching from seal to shark, that's brilliant. And that's something I can definitely bring more into my coaching, but also for myself. I don't know yet, but I'm going to try to use that for myself, from what I want to create in my business, in my life. You know, often you probably... maybe something around confidence and when speaking or when with discussing with prospecting clients, right? Or when you're not sure they're going to get you, like, what do I want to visualize and what image can I bring in? So I'm going to think of that.
I like that. Yeah, thanks, Ellen, for sharing that. Yeah, that's great. We can all use these images, imagination, visualizations for ourselves. Of course, because if you imagine that when you're talking to a prospect, you're saying, oh, I don't know if they're going to want this, then, of course, they're going to project that energy. But if you feel like I am, you know, I'm the best at what I do here, I'm confident, I am a powerful performing edge coach or a sports psychology coach, I have what this person wants, or I have what this person needs for their help, then yeah, I can imagine yourself being the super coach, super performance coach, then you're going to project that energy for sure. So
yeah.
Great. Yeah, thanks, Evan. That's great. I'm glad you could use it for yourself, too, for your business and see your business growing and flourishing, like here in spring is coming. So imagine a flower blooming or something getting stronger, you know, a whole field, you know, a whole field of energy kind of flowing there. And just imagine the possibilities are endless, right? Yeah. Okay. So thank you, Evan. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. And how about Michelle or Matt or Dave?
Oh, hi, Dr. Joanne. It's Michelle. Just in what Evan said, I really liked the placebo conversation and how that is related to belief systems, which I think is just so critical for high performance. And Evan, when you talked about the butterflies, made me think of what Muhammad Ali used to say about his butterflies, and he just had to get them to fly in formation, which I thought was a really cute little saying. Also, the visualization, I never thought about actually, you know, sitting on a dolphin and seeing the dolphin just sort of assist you to go faster and make it easier. I thought that was a really nice little twist on visualization. And you could do it with runners, too, say ultra runners who, you know, they could see themselves sitting on a horse or a gazelle or something like that, getting up those hills just for a little extra assistance. So, yeah, it was really enjoyable. Thank you, Dr. Joanne.
Oh, yeah, great. I know, it's really fun. You can think of these things, sitting on a horse, yeah. Or I imagine with running like a hand glider right above me that can float along and kind of pull me up and forward kind of thing. And so you kind of having that lift or imagine springs on the bottom of your feet. You know, there was that movie, what was it, Flubber or something, a long time ago, a really old movie, but where the guy had, I think the basketball player had springs on the bottom of their feet or special shoes that made them really bound up and down. So, all kinds of things we can do. So just let your mind go wild kind of thing and work with your athletes to open up their mind as well. So thank you, Michelle. Yeah, how about Matt or Dave?
Hi, Dr. Joanne. It's Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
So, hi. I was struck by kind of a power of perception, and when we talked about the volleyball players and the ritual, and I was able to reflect back on my years of playing, and I can't remember exactly what was said to me as far as, like, we usually had one person who would kind of lead that ritual, and but I do recall the way I felt and being in the moment. And I guess, if I just look at the people I've started talking to about this, this young man I worked with last week, just how, like, situational awareness, constantly being worried or concerned or having that fear can really interrupt, like, your flow. It can interrupt you being in the zone and being able to enjoy it or even to access some of the physical pathways. And that's kind of my takeaway from a lot of what I've been learning lately, just, like, the power of perception. And, what we say to ourselves in the moment and using mindfulness, true mindfulness, like being like, I've been here before, I can get through this moment, right? I've got what it takes, and kind of what we say to ourselves in the moment and how, what a big difference that makes.
Yeah, right. That's great. So thank you, Dave. Yeah, I've got what it takes. It's good. There was that book called The Right Stuff, right? I've got the right stuff. and saying, we always think we need some superhuman powers to get through something, but if you can kind of just normalize it for people and say it's, I'm doing what I do every day. This is my element. I'm here. I'm home. It's a nice one to say to yourself too. Like with a swimmer, she says, when I'm in the water, it's like for a fish, the ocean is their home. And so when you're in the water and you're a swimmer, the pool is your home. So just saying that so that you have that comfort level there and saying that you're there and this is I'm home and this is what I do. So, it's great to give it that, your sport, that kind of a feeling so that you can move forward and be able to perform your best and kind of take the pressure off, just be able to be there. So thank you so much, everybody. Thanks, Michelle and Matt. Oh, Matt, are you there too? I don't know if you want to chime in with if you're still there with your any takeaway. Hi, Matt, are you there? I just hear some rustling. I'm not sure. Maybe he's trying to get on the phone. Or maybe it sounds like you're traveling and having difficulty with the reception. So, okay. Or if you have any comments, you can send me an email, too. So I'll have the recording up shortly for this. And thank you, everyone. So February 27th will be our next call. And, I'll send out some notes about what we did here too. And thanks, great call with everybody. Such great synergy today. And thanks, Evan and Michelle, Matt and Dave and others that are listening in. And so we'll have this call up shortly, and then I'll connect with you again by email, and then on the 27th. That sounds great. So everyone have a great Valentine's Day tomorrow. And we'll talk then. And, just wonderful. Great talking with all of you and such an honor to work with you. So have a great day, everyone. And we'll talk with you on the 27th. Thanks, Dale.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.